was also the eve of my 40th birthday, so it was extra special, and I was feeling particularly emotional, looking at Tim across the table. The time was right, at last. He looked gorgeous. Not only was the candlelight warming his face, softening his big brown eyes, it was also rekindling our love. Despite the sparkle of the season, I had to admit, we'd been a little lacklustre on the love front recently. "This is just what we need," I sighed. "I know things haven't been easy for us. You've been working so hard, I've hardly seen you. But I'm glad we made this time for each other, Tim."
"Yes, I wanted us to spend tonight together," he said. "It's been 10 years now, and I think it's time we talked about the future."
A frisson of excitement bubbled up in my chest, though it may have been the champagne. "Yes, 10 wonderful years. I said, smiling, gazing into his eyes and thinking of the good times. It had taken a while, and there'd been doubts along the way. It hadn't been a bed of roses, and Tim had a tendency to put work before our relationship, coming home and burying his head in the computer and often forgetting our anniversaries because he was so busy. But here, by the glittering light of candles, it seemed Tim was finally ready to put us first. He knew Christmas was my favourite time of year, and I'd often talked of a wedding in December, so perhaps we could organise it in time for next year. It was my childhood dream to be a winter bride, dressed in icy white, crystals and fur. I'd imagined being delivered to my soulmate by horse and carriage, cutting through a white landscape of snowy mountains and shimmering fir trees, and it looked like that dream was just about to come true. So I sat back and waited for the confetti to fall. Tim lifted the champagne bottle from the ice bucket, tutting slightly at the drips on the table. I wiped them away with my napkin, then folded it again, pushing the creases with my fingers, desperately trying to make it smooth.
"The waitress should have brought a cloth," he sighed. "I wasn't sure about buying this fizz anyway. It's an inferior brand."
He scrutinised the label, then screwed up his face in that way he often did. I smiled indulgently. How like Tim to want everything about the surprise proposal to be perfect. We were quite alike, really. Both wanted a nice home, clean, tidy, with a perfectly manicured lawn and a kitchen stuffed with high-end white goods. My friend Storm said we were in a rut. But as I pointed out to her, one girl's rut was another girl's life of domestic bliss. We both knew where we were and what the other was doing at any given time. Nothing wrong with that. And we were both in bed by 9:30 p.m. every night, asleep by 9:35 p.m. I was happy. I felt safe with Tim. He wasn't what you call spontaneous, but if spontaneity meant he'd run off with the first good-looking woman he saw, then give me predictable. Given our routine and the fact I knew him inside out, the proposal wasn't going to be a surprise, because I'd seen all the signs. There was mistletoe above the table, champagne in the ice bucket, and deliberately vague references to it being time to talk about our future. He'd also insisted I meet him at 6:30 p.m, which meant I had to miss taking part in the annual carol service at the hospital. My half-sister Jodie was a nurse there, and I'd felt really torn about backing out, and Jodie hadn't helped with her emotional blackmail.
"Don't worry about the hospital charity, Jen. I mean, if Tim wants an early dinner, then sick patients will have to come second," she'd said sarcastically.
For God's sake, this was my Christmas proposal. It was everything I'd ever wanted, and still she didn't get it. I put Jodie and her anger from my mind. It was my birthday tomorrow, and I was having a special Christmas Eve birthday dinner with my future husband. I looked round at the glittery lights, the mistletoe, the sparkling champagne, and the man with the twinkly brown eyes. I was a lucky girl. As Tim lifted the bottle to pour our drinks, I discreetly checked the bottom of my glass flute to see if he'd popped the engagement ring in when I wasn't looking. Tim wasn't really a romantic. He always said grand gestures were just a desperate attempt for attention or a cover-up for infidelity. I suppose that's why he never bought me flowers and didn't want to get engaged until now. If I ever made vague suggestions about getting married, which I did, sometimes once a week, he'd always reject them quite strenuously. "Isn't it enough that I come back to our shared home every evening?" he'd say. But I knew if I waited long enough, it would happen. And here we were, champagne on the table, Bing Crosby in the air.